Scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Matthew 11, 19. And it reads, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibber, and friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children."
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning to come worship God in spirit and in truth, to learn more about what thus saith the Lord, to be reminded of why we are here and the association we have with our God. And we have a few that are out on this morning, and I'm very thankful to say that we have many who are out, especially our ministers, and they're out preaching. And what a blessing it is to be a member of a congregation that have so many men that are able to yield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so many are out preaching today, and that's one reason why we are probably shorthanded in certain areas. However, when you think about the responsibility that all of us have to step up and to do our part in the service of the Lord, and this is His service, and so we do all that we can to make sure that He is glorified, that He is honored, that He's praised, and that we're edified one with another. But we are just really grateful for our visitors. You know, I think if it wasn't for some of the visitors, we probably wouldn't have the number we have. But we're thankful for you visiting with us. I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest and that you come back. Be slow to leave, be quick to return. This month, we're going to be talking about the truth that justifies. All year, we've been talking about truth. Talking to Brother Ryan Smithy, and he said one time, "I didn't know you could speak about truth for so long." Yeah, when it comes to the Bible, you can speak about truth for a long time. But this morning, we want to talk about the truth that justifies, and we want to really pinpoint our thoughts on the idea of justified. In Romans 3, in verse number 23, the Bible there says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that the Gentiles had sinned before God, the Jews had sinned before God, and culminating in chapter 3, all have sinned. The point there is, in Romans 3 and verse number 10, that there is none righteous before God, no, not one. And the only way to become righteous, to be justified in the sight of God, is through the Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible also teaches us in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, that sin separates us from God. But why? Because of 1 John 3 and verse number 4, y'all just listen, take notes. We'll get to the lesson here in a few minutes. But in 1 John 3 and verse number 4, the Bible demonstrates to us that sin is transgression or going beyond the law of God. And so when we consider going against God's word and His will, that is called sin or missing the mark. Unfortunately, many don't understand what sin is. This is why we have a responsibility as teachers, as preachers, as members of the Lord's church to always remind individuals of what the law of God is and what sin is. Also, in Romans 6 and verse 23, there the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The latter part of that verse is just as comforting, just as rewarding. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we've learned already that there is none righteous. The only way to be righteous before God is through Jesus Christ. We've learned that going against the law of God is sin. But we also learned that there is a price tag for sin. The wages of sin is death. And so we want to keep in mind that when one is carnally minded, Romans 8 and verse 6, that causes one to put themselves in a position to sin against God. And this is why we want to make sure that we do all that we can to have spiritual thinking. Yet, God sought to do something very magnificent. God, what did you seek to do? God sought to bring men back to Himself, to bring the sinner back to Himself, to reconcile man back to Himself through the person of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. But He did that because He loved man. He did that because He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He did that because when you think of the idea of reconciliation, you're talking about two friends who have a disagreement. Something comes between them, and the idea is to bring them back into fellowship. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God of heaven. God doesn't desire anyone to be lost, and neither should we. And so the question we have to ask ourselves as it relates to the truth concerning being justified. What is justification? What is justification? Let me give you a few things. I got 9 things that I want you to write down if you're taking notes, and I'll go slow because we don't have it on the screen this morning. However, when you think of what is justification, number one, justification literally means to be declared right. To be declared right. Now, notice the definition, to be declared. When we think about children, when children come into this world, we have babies in here, and we're thankful for babies. They come into this world without sin, without the acknowledgement of sin, without knowing what sin is. They don't even know the law of God. They have to be taught that. And so when one sins, one has to be declared right. One has to be declared righteous. Number two, to be as he or she, now notice this idea here, ought to be. There is a sense that all of us ought to be a certain type of individual. When you think of that word ought, it literally means to be held by a duty or a standard, a moral obligation. Every single man on the face of the earth is held to a moral obligation, whether or not he or she wants to abide by it. Number three, to keep the commands of God, to keep the commands of God. What does it mean to be justified, to be declared right? Meaning that one keeps the commands of God. I think this is probably one of my favorites right here. What does it mean to be justified? To be innocent, guiltless, faultless. But that only takes place through Jesus Christ. That only takes place through the blood of Christ. And we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Number five, it's used of an individual whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting, now watch this, is wholly confirmed or conformed to the will of God. Now put these passages in your notes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Another passage is 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Lastly, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 34. And so that's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. The reason why that is so important is because when we think about our feelings, our thinking, and our acting, that actually constitute the whole man, the whole man. And so when we think about being declared right, being declared innocent, being declared guiltless or faultless, friends, this ought to help us in our thinking and how we approach God and how we approach one another. Number six, what is justification? One who is approved of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, here the Bible communicates to us very clearly that a man can be approved of God. We live in a time today where men don't even think that they can really please God, but we can. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15, be diligent. One translation says study. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or cutting straight the word of truth. And so one can be approved before God. One can be declared right or innocent in the sight of God. Number seven, literally, it means one who is forgiven or acquitted. Now, let's stop and think about that. Since all have sinned, and there's none righteous before God, Romans 3 and verse 10, the only way to be righteous, if I've sinned against God, Brother Dustin, is to be acquitted. Is to be forgiven. Is for God to say, don't worry about it, I've taken care of that because of what you have done. And friends, we know that we play a part in that process. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 1, verse number 7 through 9, as we continue these introductory remarks. In 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, familiar passages of Scripture for those of us who are students of the Word of God. Watch what the Bible here communicates to us. In 1 John 1, starting at verse number 7, here the Bible says, for if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Watch this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, i.e., he justifies us. He declares us right when we do our part. Of course, he's talking to the child of God there, talking to the Christian, the one in whom he loves. Of course, he loves all men, but especially those who have obeyed his son in baptism. Number 8, what is justification? One who is spared from the wrath of God. One who is spared from the wrath of God. We'll have more to say about that. Number 9, and lastly, when we think about what is justification, one who does not declare himself righteous. In Proverbs 14, in verse number 12, let's look at a couple of passages of scripture that will help us to think through some of these things. And the reason why is because many in our day, and really this is nothing new, many love to declare themselves right. But truly, only God can declare a man or a woman right before him. Only God can do that. And so the Bible here demonstrates to us, and this is the truth concerning justification. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. When we think about that, friends, there is a way that seems right, but just because it seems right doesn't make it right. God is the one that calls things right and calls things wrong. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 18, and notice the depth of this particular passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 18. As I was looking at this and pondering this, it caused me to think. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Friends, did you get that? Brothers and sisters in Christ? Just because I say that I am approved or I'm justified doesn't make it so. But whom the Lord commends, whom the Lord approves, that's the one who is approved. Let's illustrate this. Look at the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through verse number 14, notice that the Bible there communicates to us. And friends, make no mistake about it, many justify themselves all the time. This is a familiar passage of scripture for us. In Luke chapter 18, starting at verse number 9, notice what the Bible here teaches. Luke 18, starting at verse number 9. Also, he spoke this parable, talking about Jesus, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men, Jesus speaking, went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice, he prayed to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eye to heaven, but beat his breast, says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, did you hear that? Watch verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We think about justification and we think about being declared right, declared innocent, declared faultless, declared guiltless. Only God can do that. Here we have an individual, a Pharisee, who is going up to God and he's praying, but the Bible says he prays to himself. He's not even praying to God, but it seems like he's praying to God, but he's not. But it doesn't, he's praying to himself. It's interesting. And only God could tell us something like that. However, there's this sinner there, and he beats his chest, wouldn't even look up to heaven. He says, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And then Jesus uses the great phrase or the great question, which one went home justified? He said, be merciful. He went home justified. Be merciful. Went home justified. You put those two together and you have something very rich going on here. Very rich.
I want us to notice something. Turn your Bibles to the book of Titus. Justification, chapter 3, can be summed up in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. It's clearly demonstrated in these particular passages, and I find it very comforting that the Apostle Paul, one whom loved the Lord, one who really wanted to get to know Jesus Christ in a very intimate fashion, Philippians 3, verses 7 through verse number 9, one who gave his life for the ministry, one who was chosen for the ministry, one who really dedicated himself to stretching forward, doing the will of God, understanding that he had not yet attained, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, had this to say, very humbling, and it ought to humble us. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, we see that justification is clearly seen. Paul says, for we, notice the language that he uses there, for we ourselves, he includes himself in the equation. Not too many people want to do this. However, Paul did this. He did it by inspiration, being very honest with those whom he is writing to, Titus, but of course those in Crete. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Notice past tense language there. Once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and even hating one another. But notice what he says in verse 4, friends. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, meaning not according to our obligation, but according to God's. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? According to the mercy of God. Remember what that sinner was asking for? Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Jesus said he went away justified. Notice what he goes on to say. According to his mercy, he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You can put Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 25 and 26, John 3, verses 3 through 5 in your notes if you want to. But notice what he says, whom he poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Friends, did you hear that? Did you see that? Here, justified by his grace. But notice what's connected to being justified by the grace of God. The washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, being saved by the mercy of God. Many people like to throw the grace of God out there and like it's just water, but it's not. It took a lot for God to give us grace, to give us favor, to look at us with great concern, to have the mentality and idea and the plan to do something about it, if you will. And so we see this all summed up in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Point number two, since we know what justification is, let's talk about how are we justified. And I have a slew of passages for us to be considering on this morning. First, look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 4, Ephesians 2, verse number 4, very rich material here, worthy of our consideration, worthy of us looking at it. Notice what the Bible here demonstrates. God is very rich. He's very rich. In verse number 4, the Bible says he is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Giving us that which we don't deserve. Do we deserve eternal life? Of course not. Do we deserve, John 10, verse 10, the abundant life? Of course not. Do we deserve the air that we're breathing? Of course not. God has it to rain on the just as well as the unjust, Matthew chapter 5. And when we think about that, we ought to be thankful to God that he allows us to even come before him, that we are allowed to even assemble with the people of God, that we are allowed to even wake up and put one foot in front of the other. We ought to be thankful for the great grace and mercy of God. But here the Bible says he's rich in mercy. He's abundant in mercy. He's super abundant in mercy. Let that sink in. Let that ponder and marinate in your mind that since God is rich in mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We ought to be merciful. But notice the text. because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Watch what he says here, friends. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hold on. I thought he saved us according to his mercy, Titus 3, verse number 4 and 5. He did. Here he says that we're saved by grace. Friends, you can't be saved by just one. You got to be saved by a multiplicity of things. And here the Bible demonstrates what we're saved by. We're saved by mercy. We're saved by grace. Now, notice what he goes on to say. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Friends, you think you've seen the great riches of God's grace? You haven't seen nothing yet, Sister Olivia. We haven't seen nothing yet. We have more to come. You know, Brother Brian Braswell always says, when this life is over for us, we'll be able to see everything. And that's true. Right now, we can't see everything. We don't know all things. But one day, we'll see all things. We'll see the exceeding riches of his grace. A lot of people will want to think about the street of gold, the walls of jasper, and that's fine. But truly, just seeing the face of God ought to be enough. Just being in the presence of God ought to be enough. Think about being justified. The only way that I can see God's face in peace is to be declared right by God himself. And think about that, and that ought to give us great encouragement. And Paul says here that there's more to come. There's more to come. Notice what he says, in his kindness toward us. Now, notice where God demonstrates his kindness. In, the word there is the idea of location. The location where God demonstrates his kindness is inside, in his son, Christ Jesus. Now, notice verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. The vehicle of salvation and the reception of grace is through faith. Through faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse number 17. And so notice the text and notice what God continues to teach us through the Apostle Paul. And that not of yourselves. You're not justified of yourselves. You're not saved of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so when we consider this, notice what he says in verse number 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Because God has been gracious and merciful unto us, we turn around and we're gracious and merciful unto others. Why is this so important? It's important because when we think about us being justified, being declared right before God, our aim, our goal, our motivation, if you will, ought to be, how can I help someone else have a better life, have a good life, a great life, a righteous life, a justified life? Well, being his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that's how I do it. I go out and I demonstrate to others what God has demonstrated to me. And so when we consider this, let me give you a few things that the Bible puts into the equation as it relates to how are we justified with God. In Romans chapter 5, and I'm putting it in this order on purpose. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 9, the Bible demonstrates to us that we are justified by the blood of Christ. Justified by the blood of Christ. I thought we was justified by faith. That too. Number two, we're justified freely by his grace. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. But look at Romans 5 and look at verse number 1. In Romans 5, verse number 1, notice what the Bible here says. Therefore, having been. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church at Rome here, and he's giving them great encouragement. Remember, Romans 1, 2, and 3, all have sinned, Jew and Gentile. Romans chapter 4, he brings up Abraham and how Abraham was justified before the law of Moses. And now Romans chapter 5, he says, okay, having been justified, you've been declared right. But why were you declared right? Because of Romans chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Notice that real quick, and then we'll come right back down to Romans 5, verse number 1. He says, now it was not written for his sake, talking about Abraham alone, that it was imputed, meaning accounted to him, but also for us. It shall be accounted to us, or imputed to us, who believe in him. That's God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's the resurrection. But watch this. Who was delivered up because of our offenses. You could put in Isaiah 53 right there, Brother James. In Isaiah 53, we have the suffering servant and what he went through. And friends, thanks be to God, we don't have to go through that. Such a blessing that we don't have to go through that. But here, Jesus went through it, not because of sin he committed, because he committed no sin, but because of the sin we committed, and was raised, notice, because of our justification. Don't go to sleep on me yet. You need this. Jesus was raised for our justification. Many preachers, even in the Lord's church, talk about the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Let's use this verse right here, and let's drive a peg in the ground real quick. Friends, if what Jesus did on the cross was enough, we would still be in our sin. Jesus had to be raised from the dead in order for us to be declared right before God. He had to. If they would have left him on that cross, friends, we'll still be in our sins. But the very fact that he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, the very fact that God raised him up 3 days later, it was in that resurrection because of his holiness, Romans 1 and verse number 4, that we can be holy before God. Please don't make light of that. Our association with God is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I learned something this week. I was in a conference all week since Tuesday. And for preachers, elders, young men, anybody who wants to go next year, let us know. It'll be worth your time. But I learned something. I learned a lot of things, but this one thing I learned is association. How easy it is for us to look at the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread and not truly associate it with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Mike, why do you say that? Because we do it every week, it becomes mundane, becomes a habit. We don't even think about it. I was reminded, hold on, I need to keep my mind on the association of the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the relationship I have with my Father because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection from the dead and remembering his death till he comes back. And then it makes me think about the justification that is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what association do I get? I get the association of me going down in that watery grave of baptism, coming up, thus identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, God justified me because I did what God said. I cannot be justified if I don't do what God has said. And so in Romans 5, verse number 1, as we bring these thoughts together, therefore, having been justified, being declared right, innocent, faultless, guiltless, by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have. Now, notice this. What is the next word? We have what? Access. Everybody came into this building by a door. An entrance. Every single one of us. No one came into this building without coming into an entrance. No one will leave this building without going through an exit. When we think about being justified, we're talking about having access. How? By faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God through the system of belief. So you got both of them. You got your personal faith and you have the system of faith. And both of them are necessary in order for me to access this justification. This justification, this being declared right. I can't do this for myself. God has to do it for me. And so what do I do in order to access it? I obey the will of God. And so look at James 2. Look at verse number 24. In James 2 and verse 24, we've already demonstrated that we're justified by his blood. We're justified by freely by his grace. We're justified by faith. That's what we just finished looking at. But notice this, James 2 and verse number 24. Here the Bible teaches us, you see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. That's interesting. Don't have time to really go too deep into that, but I do want to make this point. Here we see that in James chapter 2, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, he brings up Rahab, he brings up Abraham, and how both of them were obedient to the will of the Father when they did the will of God. Guess what? It's the same for us. And this is why a person can obey the gospel and walk away from God. He doesn't want it. Remember what Jesus told his disciples after the great multitude in John 6? They turned away from Jesus Christ because they were only coming because of the food. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you leave as well? Peter looks at Jesus and said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And friends, that ought to be our mindset as well. And that God demonstrates justification through the truth of the gospel. And so three things under that particular point. When we think about the Bible, the Word of God, it determines the truth concerning justification. Number two, it declares the truth concerning justification. And number three, it demonstrates the truth concerning justification. Which means, friends, and I say that to say this, that you can't go to no other book, no other word, in order to be declared right before God. Amen. We got many people searching different books, men's books, commentaries, to try to seek justification, being declared right. The only declaration that God has given us is the Word of God. And we ought to be thankful for that. He's not the author of confusion. Number three, why is justification necessary? So encouraging. When I was thinking about these points and thinking about why do I need to be justified? Can I just walk around here as if I'm not in sin? Can I just walk around as if God has no law? Can I just walk around declaring myself innocent? Of course not. I shouldn't. But many do. And it's not about you doing a couple good things every now and then. Because when you think about good works, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, God defines what those good works are. So why is justification necessary? Number one, because God truly doesn't want to punish or condemn anyone. In Ezekiel 33, verse number 11, turn your Bibles there. I've got another couple of passages for us that ought to give us great encouragement. Just because a mother or a father may get on their child, or maybe your mother and father got on you when you was a child. I hope they did. Because no one is perfect. No child is perfect. And so they need to be disciplined. They need to be taught. They need to be, and that's inclusive of love, because you can't have one without the other unless you fall into the realm of being abusive. But we're not talking about that, because God is not abusive. But in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11, notice what God says about those who commit evil. Notice what the Bible says. As I live, says the Lord God. Now, I love reading passages like this, because God is literally saying it himself. Okay? He's literally saying this himself. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from what? His evil way. And so when you think of it, turning from their way in order for them to live, he says, turn from your evil ways. Why? For why should you die? We think about, does God want people to be lost? The answer is no. The answer is no. 2 Chronicles, look at chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Notice what the Bible there communicates to us. Friends, we stop and we think about this. This ought to help us when we're going out talking to those who may not know Jesus. who may not know the true essence of the Lord's church and righteousness and justification and holiness. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, notice what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Don't tell me God wants people to be lost. He doesn't. He wants people to live a good life, a holy life, a righteous life. In Isaiah 5 and verse number 25, notice what the Bible here says. Friends, God wants you to be saved. He wants me to be saved. And he wants me and you to have righteous thinking and righteous living. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 25, friends, we cannot outdo the Bible, the Word of God. Notice what the Bible here says. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 25, therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. God even gets upset with his own people at times. Now that's interesting. He gets upset with us. Even as Christians, he gets upset with us. But watch this. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcass were as refuse in the midst of them. But watch this. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Brother Rick, you know what that teaches us? That even though God was upset with the children of Israel, he's saying, come to me. Don't think like that. Don't do that. Don't live like that. And so the Bible says his arms is outstretched still. I remember when I was a child and getting a spanking from mom and dad, and after a few minutes, they let me sulk in it a little bit. Come on over here, boy, give me a hug. We need that. You know what that demonstrates? I love you. Mom used to say that. This is a little bit old-fashioned here because they use tasers now. She said, boy, I'm putting this belt on you to keep that officer from putting that billy club on you. Remember those billy clubs back in the day? They put that billy club on you. Them days are done. You probably want that billy club now. Anyway, I digress. Here's the point. God says, I'm disciplining you, but my arms are outstretched for you. Come back to me. God, what do you want to do with Israel? I want to justify them. I want to declare them right. God is angry with the wicked every day. Can you imagine being upset every day? That's why when you think about God, he's not just what some say, well, God is love. Well, Hebrews 12, verse 29, God is wrath. He's a consuming fire. But when you think of him, he's so balanced. He knows all things. Angry with the wicked, yet he wants them to come. Pleased with the justified, he wants them to stay. That's the God that we serve. That's the truth about justification. Number two, we know that God truly doesn't want to punish or condemn man because God wants man to be spared from his wrath. In other words, God gave a system of salvation to save man from himself. That's another thing I didn't realize growing up. Mom used to say, boy, I'm trying to save you from yourself. You keep making those decisions, you're going to condemn yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. You need to stop. You're going to do harm to yourself. Didn't understand that until I got older. Started reading the Bible, understanding the will of God. Take these down real quick for time's sake. In Romans 5 and verse number 9, we shall be saved from wrath through Jesus, through him. Literally, we're going to be delivered, rescued. God gave a plan of salvation to rescue man from himself because he has to punish evil. In Romans 2 and verse number 5, it says that there is a day of wrath coming. It's a day like none other. In Romans 13 and verse number 4, God will execute wrath upon him that does evil. God wants to spare us from this. But look at 1 Timothy 1 and look at verse number 10. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 10, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. This ought to give us great encouragement. This ought to help us, strengthen us, motivate us. In verse number 10, you read verses 8 and 9 for yourself, but verse number 10, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to doctrine, am I in the right place? Let's go to 2 Timothy. That's not what I want. Yes, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that God is going to save us from his wrath. And friends, when we stop and we consider this, Jesus came to deliver us from the very wrath of God. And we ought to thank God for that. In Revelation 6 and verse number 17, the great day of wrath, who shall be able to stand before God? Only the justified. Only the one that's been justified by God. Number three, because God wants his creation to have comfort. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 and 17. Notice what the Bible here communicates to us. Here, Paul is thankful to the brethren. Here, he's thanking God for the brethren. But in verse number 16, he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort, consolation, and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Friends, when we stop and we think about these things, God has blessed us. He's justified us. He's declared us right. So what will it require for me and you to be justified today? Point four. Well, for the non-Christian, it's obedience to the gospel. Friends, make no mistake about it. God has a plan for saving man. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He tells his disciples, go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is the plan of salvation that God has given, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Many will not justify God for some reason. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse number 29. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 29. Luke 7, verse 29. Notice what the Bible here says. Because when we understand being justified, there were some individuals at this particular time that actually did what God wanted them to do, therefore justifying God. Justifying God. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors, justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But notice the Pharisees, and notice the lawyers. Notice what they did. They rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And so when you think about this, friends, God wants us to justify him by actually doing his will. And so what does it mean to be justified? What is the requirement? It is actually keeping the commandments of God, doing what God has said, and going out demonstrating to people that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. And the more that we do that, the more obedient we are, the more the gospel message is appealing to those on the outside and even us on the inside. And so God wants us to be faithful. And so turn your Bible one last time to Matthew 11. You probably thought, is he ever going to get to Matthew 11, verse 19? Yeah, right now. This is my last passage right here. And the reason why is because when you think about what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 11, friends, it's the same for us today. What wisdom are we living by? And whatever wisdom we're living by, that's the wisdom that we're justifying, and that's the wisdom that's justifying us. And so in Matthew 11 and verse number 19, notice what the Bible here says. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They had a problem with John the Baptist or the immerser and what he was doing. They had a problem with the Son of Man and what he was doing. And you drop down to the latter part of the verse, but wisdom is justified, notice, by her children, which teaches us that the wisdom that we apply to our lives is actually going to point up or point down to the wisdom that we are getting it from. So here's the question. Where do I get my wisdom from? Am I getting it from God or am I getting it from myself? Where do I get my wisdom from concerning my family, concerning my own personal life, concerning my private life, concerning my business life, concerning those who are on the outside of Christ? Where do I get my wisdom from? Hopefully, I get it from God. And if I get it from God, then it's going to look like the one who gave it to me. But if I don't get it from God, and every now and then we go backwards and forwards, in and out, because that's what people do for some reason, that's what we do, then that's why some people look consistent and some people don't look consistent. However, when it comes to the justification of Almighty God in the lives of his people, God is the only one that justifies us. And so all month we're going to be talking about the truth about justification. And there's more to it, friends. Maybe you're not a child of God. You heard the plan of salvation. Maybe you're a child of God and you have a desire to get better and be better. Friends, the only way you can do that is by staying in the Word of God, meditating and applying it and doing his will, and God will bless you. If you're not a child of God, you need to study, need to be baptized, let us know so we can study with you as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.